It's all about just leading us into the presence of the Lord. Now, can we pray for a miracle? Is it up there?
Yep.
Hallelujah. I'm going to put this down. All right. You know, all of us have some remaining days left on this earth, right? We don't know how many, but we have some. The question I want us to consider today is, what is the fundamental devotion of our lives or of those remaining days that will transform our lives and make a great impact on the world? We want to answer that question this morning. Let's pray together. God, again, we give thanks for an opportunity to worship, to seek you, to hear from you. Speak to our hearts that Christ may be glorified by the power of your Spirit. We pray all this in his precious name. Amen. Over the last couple of Sundays, we have been looking at a biblical vision for the church. And we go all the way back to Acts chapter 2 to get that biblical vision of what the church looks like. But we also want to look forward as ways that we today can live in to that vision or live out that vision. You see, too many people have a false idea of church. Church is not just something written on a piece of paper. It's not just a 501c3, right? Church is not just a place. It's not a building. Church is the people of God. People who are followers of Jesus Christ. People who have received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And there's something unique about this group of people that follow Christ. The gathering of God's people. Early Christian gatherings were marked by simplicity and particular characteristics. But mainly, watch this, mainly by a common devotion. And that common devotion is seen in Acts 2 from our scripture reading in verse 42. And they devoted themselves, here's the common devotion, to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and the prayers. Now, who's they? Who is the they that we reference here? They are the ones who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Later in the passage, all who believed were part of this initial gathering called the church. They, all who believed in Christ as Lord and Savior, devoted themselves. And they were obviously changed people. These were not just people who turned over a new leaf. These were people who had submitted to the truth of the resurrected Jesus and had bowed the knee to him as Lord of all. They were changed in their faith, in their heart, in their beliefs. They had new hearts and new hopes and new dreams and a new fellowship into which they would live out this newness. They had submitted themselves to baptism and had entered into this unique fellowship characterized in this way. Now, we are united as one in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, we are dependent upon him even as we are interdependent upon one another. Dependent upon Jesus and interdependent as brothers and sisters who meet in his name. And so, following the pattern of the New Testament church, the 21st century church is to be about the same thing. Fundamentally, connect in relationships, effect life change, in hearts, in homes, in marriages, in the community, and to do so with a focus on these priorities: worship, community, discipleship, they're all here. Servant ministry, prayer, and so forth. But there is a singular devotion that marked this early church, foundational to them and to the present church, foundational to the Christian faith itself. This singular devotion, and that is those who believe. That is to say, a devotion to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Now, the word here in the Greek for devotion means to continually to devote oneself. I mean, that's the simple way of translating. It also means devoted or constant to one person or thing. There's a certain focus to this devotion. Any spouse would want to hear this from their husband or their wife. Devoted to and constant to one person. It is to show a steadfast attentiveness to something. To have unremitting care of a thing, to a thing. To persevere, not to faint. To have a steadfast, single-minded fidelity to a certain person or course of action. And that's what marked these believers in the first century church. This is the primary identification of the church. The Christian church is devotion to Jesus, Son of God, Lord of all, Savior of the world. This is the headwater of faith from which all else flows. This is the foundation from which all else is built. This one person, the Lord Jesus Christ, the bedrock of truth in His name, the key to understanding the nature of salvation, and the key to the kingdom of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to give us this morning, quickly, four reasons to devote your life to Jesus. I've already given some in that, in the kind of an introduction, but four reasons to devote your life to Jesus Christ. And the first one, I've already mentioned some, is because of who He is and what He has done. The person and work of Christ. Who He is, what He has done. Son of God, Savior of the world, Lord of all. Now let me give you some witnesses to the person and work of Christ. And we begin with the Scripture. The Old Testament Scriptures even point to Him. All of the Scriptures point to Jesus. He is the favorite subject of the Word of God. Jesus Himself said this when He was walking this earth. He said, "For I tell you that this Scripture must be fulfilled in me." Is that what's on this screen, what I just read? Okay. And then He was quoting an Old Testament passage, and He said, "This passage will be fulfilled in me, in my person, what I've come to do." And then the resurrected Jesus said this to the disciples as He was teaching them post-resurrection and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, that is the Old Testament. He interpreted to them all that the Scriptures, said concerning Himself. The Scriptures point to Him. He is the embodiment of the characteristics of God: love, mercy, wrath, glory, holiness. The angels also give us a witness. The angels attended His birth. They announced it. The angels ministered to Him. The angels were there at the empty tomb when our Lord was resurrected. The testimony of John the Baptist is a witness. He is the last and greatest of the Old Testament prophets. And John the Baptist came on the scene and he said, "Look to Him. Look to Jesus, the Lamb of God, God's own Son." The testimony of the Father at His baptism, God the Father Himself said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." The authority of His own ministry and teaching. The people said, "No one has taught with such authority as this one." And Jesus demonstrated His power over darkness, over the demonic, over sickness, over nature itself. Remember, He calmed a storm one time. Over death, He shows his power over all of this. And then the testimony of the apostles in the New Testament. We have these writings that testify to the person and work of Jesus. They would open these scriptures and they would point to him and preach the good news of Jesus Christ. That is why the Apostle Paul, and the Father bears witness even as I speak, to the glory of his Son. The Apostle Paul said this, "For no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have." And what is that foundation? Jesus Christ. He is it. Every promise of God comes through him. Every prodigal son or daughter that comes home comes through his grace. All of our hope as a church, or as families, or as individuals, all of our prayers depend on him. "For without me, you can do nothing," Jesus said. Everything that the apostles and the prophets taught, and all faithful teachers throughout the ages, good and true teachers that followed after them, they speak to this sure-footed granite of marble, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the foundation. Not only who he is, but what he has come to do. He is a crucified Savior. He bore our sins upon the cross, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. He loved us and gave himself for us as an atoning sacrifice for sins. And he lives, never to die again. We proclaim the mystery of faith throughout the ages. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. The great hymn writer Charles Gabriel put it in some great words when he wrote this, "I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me." That's it. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus, the person and work of Christ. That is why we devote ourselves to him. A second reason, and I'm going to be more quickly here, to fulfill our purpose in life. Notice what the Apostle Paul writes on two separate occasions about creation and recreation. To fulfill our purpose in life means, what were we created for? Why are we here? Colossians 3:16 says we were created through him, that's Jesus Christ, we were created through him and for him. Did you know you were created for Christ? Well, something has interfered in this original design of creation. It's called sin. So there needs to be a new creation through the grace of God in his Son, Jesus Christ. And so we find in 2 Corinthians 5, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. We are the most human we'll ever be, according to the original design, when we devote our lives to Jesus and our remaining days. All that we find most good and holy and glorious is found in the life that is devoted to Christ. And the life devoted to Christ is never wasted. I invite you this morning to do just that, to offer your life to him, to give your heart to him, to devote your remaining days to him. A third reason to devote our lives to Christ is Jesus talked about an abundant life and an eternal life that comes through faith and devotion to him. Look at what Jesus said in John chapter 10. He said, "I have come that you may have life," but a unique kind of life. He called it abundant life, to have it abundantly. And then in John 17, 3, Jesus actually defines eternal life this way. "This is eternal life, that you know God and the one he has sent." And of course, he was talking about himself there. To know Christ is to be reconciled to God and to have this unique life. It means to truly live. To be truly alive is to come into the presence of the ultimate reality and life giver, God himself. And we do that through our Lord Jesus. To know God more and more. Abundant, deep, glorious. The life devoted to Jesus is life. Now you say, okay, does that mean no more suffering? No more difficulty? No more disappointments? No more disappointments? Of course not. This is a broken world. But what it does mean is having life in a unique way that has a deep joy and peace and purpose that is only found in Him. We devote our lives to Christ because we have an abundant life promised to us and eternal life. Because devotion to Christ prepares us for death. Jesus said this in John 5, "You search the Scriptures, you think that in them you have eternal life, and that is that it is they that bear witness about me." Scripture speaks of eternal life and points to Jesus and says, if you want eternal life, it's found in Him. There was a great Christian man, one of the greatest Christians who ever walked this earth, who lived in the 18th century. His name was John Wesley. John Wesley said this. He said, "I am a creature of a day, passing through life as an arrow through the air. A few moments hence, I am no more seen. I drop into an unchangeable eternity." He knew the reality of that, that day was coming for him. "I want to know one thing. Based on that reality, I want to know one thing, the way to heaven. God Himself has condescended to teach the way. He has written it down in a book. Oh, give me that book at any price. Give me the book of God that shows me the way." This is preparation for life everlasting. Faith and devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me offer one other reason to devote our lives to Him. And that is this: to walk in the Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit that was promised to the church at Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit came. But the Holy Spirit comes upon people who devote their lives to the Lord Jesus. Jesus is the favorite subject of the Holy Spirit. Notice the words He said in John 15. "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you," Jesus said, "from the Father, the Spirit of truth, He will come to testify of me." Jesus is the favorite subject of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will use and bless and empower the one who is devoted to Christ. And see, y'all, tell me if I'm right. We need more than just a natural devotion to Jesus. We need a supernatural work of the Spirit. There was a man named Peter. Before Pentecost, he was a disciple of the Lord, and Peter had a natural devotion to Jesus. Well, at one point, Peter said this, "I will lay down my life for your sake." To which Jesus responded and said this. And I believe that when Peter said that, he was being honest. That was a natural devotion. But Jesus responded this way. He said, "Peter, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me three times." Before daybreak, he's saying, you will have denied me three times. You see, natural devotion says one thing, but Jesus knew something else. Jesus knew Peter better than Peter knew Peter. And Jesus knew that Peter needed a supernatural work through the Holy Spirit. And when the Spirit came, Peter was a different man. It was no longer just a natural devotion. There was a supernatural attendant in him and through him. Natural devotion may attract us to Jesus, but it's the supernatural work of the Spirit that fills the heart and allows us to be true disciples of our Lord. We need the work of the Spirit. Matt Reynolds, who's a pastor in Dayton, Ohio, said this. He said, "Holy fire will never burn in our churches without individual hearts being set ablaze by the Holy Spirit." Amen? That's true. Do you want to see your church on fire for the Lord? Whether it's this church or in Athens, Alabama, do you want to see your church on fire for the Lord? Then first, offer yourself as a living sacrifice and crawl up on the altar. Now, that's just some graphic language, which simply means this. Place your faith on the Lord Jesus Christ and offer Him your life. Give Him your life and your remaining days. You say, how do I devote myself? Well, here it is. This pastor gives us the first response. That is, if need be, crawl up on the altar and give yourself, give your heart to Him. And then make a commitment for the long haul. We commit our remaining days to Him. This is a persevering devotion, as I mentioned earlier. And then we pursue Christ daily. That's what it means to devote our lives as disciples, to pursue Him daily, empowered by the gospel and by the Spirit, to pursue righteousness, to pursue God's purpose for our lives and for our church. This is the life of obedience, continually worked out in His kingdom by His Spirit upon us, to serve God, to practice.